You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, brought to you by themortgagewarrior.com. Use home equity to reduce stress today. Call Steve at themortgagewarrior.com. It could save you thousands.
It's time to get brutally honest.
He has a pro barrel. Like, I call it an executive pro barrel. It's like elongated and it's weird.
And the hair is blowing, man. His whole look is something else.
Quiet.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. Jerry's percentages at 5:30. The Raptors are in action tonight. Charlotte's in town. Sounds like Damari Carroll may return to the lineup. Dwayne Casey with a really interesting comment earlier today. Surprised he went public with this, where he said they have a team rule that you do not lose your starting role due to injury.
Yeah, so, I read that. I thought that was a bit... I don't know.
That's ridiculous.
I wouldn't go public with that.
Yeah, look, why not keep that one behind the scenes? What do you need? Unless you're just trying to make the person who's injured feel better about themselves.
Well, and I don't think there's any doubt. The starting five would buy a lot of stock in what Dwayne Casey is selling, right? Like, if you're a starter and a veteran, you're loving that idea. I think you should have two separate rules, one for the regular season and one for the playoffs.
When I first started playing in the NHL, it was you say you're not going in the lineup, you're taking a chance of losing your job.
It's true.
That's life.
It is life.
That's life.
What happens is the argument then, well, guys are going to battle through injury, they'll lie about it. Like, I think that's the anti-argument to what we were just talking about is guys never want to come out of the lineup because that's somebody else's chance to jump in front of you in the line.
Well, and Damari Carroll, I guess, will be granted the benefit of the doubt. And if he plays tonight, he's going to be back in the starting lineup. He hasn't played very well. He's been better this year at times.
Right.
But since signing that long-term deal, it just has not gone so well for him. But again, during the regular season, October, November, December, I'll give you that. You're telling me in the playoffs, you're in the Eastern Conference Final and you're rolling, right, and the replacement player has been your best player, that rule is going to be implemented? I don't buy it for a
second.
Not
even close.
Yeah. I don't buy it for a second.
No. So, you're trying to win.
You're trying to win, exactly. And it's not fair to the other players who are sitting there saying, wait a minute, the replacement's come in here and we've taken off.
Yeah.
Right? And again, Damari Carroll is not some superstar player. He's just an average guy on the team, essentially.
Agreed.
So Kyle Lowry, yeah, Kyle's coming back, of course. Damari Carroll, I don't think he should be granted that. Anyway, wrap Charlotte tonight. We'll tee that up throughout the afternoon. I'm playing basketball myself. I'm hoping to go off this evening. We've got a poll question up on Twitter, at Overdrive1050. Which Teen Wolf character is yours truly more likely to play like tonight in his return to basketball? Is it Teen Wolf or is it Chubbs? 90% of votes coming in.
Saying Chubbs.
Yeah, Chubby's getting a lot of love right now. And the Overdrive poll question is brought to you by Colt Hockey. Reinvent your game with a stick that will last three times longer than your regular composite. Colt Hockey, designed by hockey players for hockey players. Visit ColtHockey.com. Leaf fans breathing a lot easier today after a big win last night. And the news that came out, Freddie Anderson is traveling to Nashville. It sounds as if he's going to be ready to go tomorrow night.
I'd like him to play tomorrow night.
Everyone would. Everyone should. Curtis McElhinney would support that idea.
100%. But it would be nice to him just get back in. And then they can take a look at their schedule, and depends on the success they have. I was looking at it last night. Like, this is the 2 points they put in the bank last night are massive because the schedule is not getting easier. These last 12 days of the regular season are... It's a grind.
It's a big grind. They're in Nashville tomorrow night, in Detroit on Saturday, and then at Buffalo Monday. We know how that has gone over.
Right.
And then you've got Washington, Tampa, Pittsburgh, Columbus. You got five games in your final seven nights.
Yeah.
It's not going to be easy. Let's head down to Nashville now. He's calling the game tomorrow night on TSN4. Here is Ray, and Ray Ferraro on Overdrive is brought to you by Timeshare Exit Team. What's happening, Ray?
Just got to the hotel, just waiting for you guys to call. Just was really anticipating.
Well,
this.
You seem defeated.
You rattled, right? What? You should be sitting at Legends or Tootsie's right now.
Well, I got out of the cab at the hotel. I unpacked. I mean, like, how would I get there this quick?
What time did you leave?
2 o'clock.
No, it's a rookie move.
So you got to sleep in. It's a nice thing.
Well, it's a rookie move. Oh, the last time you went on a trip for work was like never, or it was to Ottawa. I felt like sleeping in today. I don't need to get to Nashville.
Keep in mind, when O went on his assignment, he didn't come in the next day. So...
It's an assignment.
You calling in.
I was on assignment.
You're ahead of the game already.
Yeah, I could have come earlier. I could have come on the 8 o'clock flight, but that would have been getting up at 6 o'clock, and I just didn't seem like anything that I was interested in.
Well, we've got some hard-hitting questions for you.
You want to get after it right off the hop?
Bring that in right now.
All right, so we had Peter Chiarelli join us in the previous hour. And
right.
Remember his mustache that he grew?
Yeah, iffy.
Yeah, it wasn't great.
Iffy timing. And it's not like the 80s were mustache time, not this.
Well, and we asked him about it, and he even admitted it wasn't the greatest stash, and he promised his wife he wouldn't rock it ever again. But I asked him this hypothetical, and I was very surprised by his answer. I said, let me ask you this, Peter, and you'll appreciate this, Ray, because it is the hypothetical of all hypotheticals. If I could guarantee you a Stanley Cup, but in order for you to get it, you have to grow a stash and keep it for the rest of your life, would you do it? And he said no. He said he would not do that. So we started talking about mustaches, and then someone was tweeting in asking if you have to shampoo a mustache. And you're kind of like the expert on this, so we need an answer out of you.
No, soap works.
Soap.
Yeah, like you wash your face, right? You're in the shower, you wash your face. So you got to clean enough, I think, you know?
So no shampoo, no Head and Shoulders, okay.
No. And the answer to your first question, yes.
What's that?
I would have a stash for the rest of my life.
Well, I guess, yeah, as a player, like if you could go back and I could give you a ring, but you had to grow like a horrible stash for the rest of your life, you would do that?
No, but I didn't have a horrible stash. I had an excellent stash. And now you could groom it into, like, you'd have a Fu Manchu sometimes. You'd have a, I don't know.
Did you guys have a rule on the Whalers where you couldn't play in the team if you didn't have a mustache?
We had a lot of mustaches back then.
What was it, Q and Babich? And who else was rocking stash?
Babs had a stash. Babich had a stash when he was 4. I mean, like, he's...
He grew one in between periods.
This guy's a manatee.
Yeah, I mean, like, Dave Tippett, Quenville, myself, John Anderson, Babs, there had to be half a dozen of them.
And they were quality stashes. John Anderson had a blonde one, didn't he?
A red one.
Yeah, and his was gigantic, too. When he shaved his... I think the two guys that looked the most different without it are Dave Tippett and John Anderson. Like, when they shaved, it was like, oh, my God, like, I've never seen that they had lips. Like, because they both had, like, big things that kind of hung over. And I was like, man, that's a different look. And he still looks different to me all these years later.
John Anderson's mustache is just...
I've just pulled up a picture of it. And
check this thing out on Hockey DB.
He looks like Groucho Marx. It is massive. It's
wow. Well, and it just kind of Andy's a really funny guy. He's got kind of a funny laugh, like a giggly sort of laugh, and he would come out underneath this big mustache. It was just he made me laugh just saying hello. He's a funny guy.
Have you ever been to one of his burger joints?
I don't think he's got them anymore. I don't know if they're still in existence, but I think he's out of them. But the fact that Andy had a burger joint was quite funny to most of us that didn't know about it when he was playing for the Leafs, because he always used to be under the gun about, hey, Andy, you got to lose a couple of pounds here. And Larry Plow came in; he was a new coach, and he's like, you're not going to play again until you're 185 pounds. I think Andy was like 205 at this time. And so he's riding the bike for a month after practices, and I think he lost 3 pounds.
He's probably hanging out at that burger joint.
He's like, if I don't cut off a leg, I got no chance to play again.
I love that. Like, I want Phil Kessel to launch, like, a burger joint or just something so unhealthy that is so fitting for Phil.
It would be awesome.
A street meat stand.
That's what has to – a hot dog stand.
No, one of those launch a food truck. Food truck business.
Hot dog stand's got more history to it. I would love to see that. That would be quite the troll job up in Toronto. Phil Kessel's corner dogs.
Yeah.
Just all over the ACC.
Phil Kessel's Stanley Cup dog hut.
Ooh, yes. Anyway.
Have him in his Penguins jersey, a big 81 on the side. Yeah. It'd be fantastic.
That would be awesome.
Isn't that good, right? It'd be a lot of material there for Phil. Well, last night, listen, that's as big of a win as you're going to get. It was sloppy at times, but the big story leading into it was Curtis McElhinney and how he would play. And what more can you ask for out of him? I mean, he was great last night.
I thought he was in the second period. I thought, you know, he got a lot busier. I think he had 3 shots in the first, and the third one, they gave it a shot, but it was about 3 feet wide, and he caught it. I mean, like, he had nothing to do. But the second period, he made a couple really, you know, sharp saves. I find when he is going to get into trouble, it's when he starts sliding around the crease. He loses the puck a little bit, like, you know, it bounces off him. And, you know, to get back to square is, you know, I mean, that's not the strength of his game. He's, you know, he's got to be in position, make one save, kind of square up, make another save. I thought he did that, did an outstanding job of that last night. He was, because the Leafs, I don't know if they fell asleep or they thought it was going to be easy after the first period, but I didn't think they were particularly good for about 30 minutes from the start of the second period to the middle of the third. I didn't think they were so great.
No, they really did not play well in the second. They had a great first period. They were all over Florida. It felt like the game was going to get out of hand. And then they took their foot off the gas, and you got to give credit to Florida. They're not playing for anything, but they found some pride in between the first and second, and they really started pushing. But it got dicey a bit in the third, and there were a couple of penalties that were taken that I'd be curious to find out how Babcock's going to respond to them after the game. Like, he didn't penalize Matt Martin for instigating that fight. I didn't think that was a smart play at all. I mean, I know what he's doing. I know what his role is. And the truth is, Marner was the one that caused that hit to look as bad as it was because he dipped. He dipped on Petrovic. But you cannot take an instigating penalty there. You just can't. You cannot do it. And Nylander, the same thing. He wasn't happy about the way the previous play had turned out for him, but in a one-goal game, you can't get up and cross-check a guy in the face. You just can't.
Well, yeah. Well, the two things to talk about, the Martin play, I mean, that's maybe, you know, just a word you have with him after. You know, not the right time, hey, these points are too important. But I didn't sense that there was any real thought on the bench that was a bad penalty, even though it really wasn't a great penalty. I didn't get any sense of that. The Nylander one was a little different. Like, I mean, that's a retaliatory penalty, and my sense, just standing where I am, is that the bench wasn't, like, the coaches weren't very happy having to kill that one. I know you're pissed off, but you can't. Listen to me, I took 1,000 bad penalties, but you can't get up and do that. The games are, you know, the games and the time of the game is just too important.
Yeah, I think there can be a time in the season when that makes sense for these guys. Like, every once in a while, this is kind of old school, but I wouldn't have a problem with Matthews getting a stick up, just sending a message. Right. You know, go ahead, do it. Let everyone know that if you come in here, it's a bit of a gamble because I might get it up on you next time.
Well, sooner or later, he's going to have to beat the hell out of somebody just to say, hey,
well,
no
have
thanks.
Some pushback. But I don't.
Everybody has to do it once. Trust me, I thought, I'm never going to get a fight in the NHL. You get in a fight, that happens.
Yeah, I'll tell you, speaking of that, when they put up that graphic last night, I don't know, Noodles, if you saw it later on, but, you know, they were comparing Wendell Clark and Matthews and, yeah, in their rookie year, you know, pretty similar shots and goals. And then it gets down to the bottom, 23 fights.
Yeah.
Like, are you kidding me? He fought 23 times.
Well, here's the thing, Ray. He told us that it was 32, so I'll bet you he fought nine times in the preseason.
Probably.
And they didn't get up on the board. And the best thing is, like, people were tweeting me last night. They're like, tell Wendell it's 23. I'm like, you go tell Wendell it was 23. Yeah. And guess what? You'll be the 34th because he'll knock your teeth in. I still wouldn't even say a bad word to Wendell. There's no way.
And nobody's even – I don't recall any of his fights being little wrestling or, you know, or even big wrestling matches. Like, they were like, stand him back and tee him up. Like, oh, man, he had some pretty hellacious bouts.
There was no defense to them whatsoever. It was just toe-to-toe. It didn't matter who it was. Probert, like, the biggest – and he's not physically a big guy. He's a strong guy. But he gave up a lot of weight and size.
No wonder his back eventually said no mas. Like,
exactly.
You know, he just can't do this anymore. I mean, that was pretty cool to see Matthews score at home. I got to say, I was a little disappointed with the Leafs. Like, there was not even a mention of it in the building.
Really? Like,
it's
up on 31
years.
Up on the board,
nothing
you're
on
saying?
The board. No, nothing on the board. No announcement. Hey, Austin Matthews has just broken or set a single-season Leafs rookie goal record. Nothing like that.
Well, you know who that is.
I think it's that game rate. That's right from Lou.
That's Lou Lamoriello.
I'm sorry. That's just – I mean, we did the game last night, Ray. We did get to talk to him after, didn't we?
Yes. He spoke with Masters, which is a rarity. They
the
don't
rare
allow
walk-off,
the kids
yeah.
That is a joke, too. But, I mean, this guy breaks Wendell Clark's record. You can't put it on the Jumbotron and say, congratulations, Austin Matthews. Like, Jesus, Murphy. Like, that's
like,
ridiculous.
I didn't like it. I'm like, man, you
not even for the kid, for the fans.
That's who it should be for.
Yes.
Like, give them I know they're having fun this year, but there should be some celebration of what is a historic rookie class, because the next time this is going to happen is like never.
Yeah, no kidding.
When you have, you know, so like celebrate it.
All those draft picks that this organization has done and screwed up and traded, and you finally get this kid along with the other ones, you can't even put something up on the Jumbotron?
And here's I don't think any of those kids would think it's ever, like, I'm just, you know, because we're around them. I don't think those guys think it's about them. Like, I understand the one for all, and, you know, it's for the front of the jersey, not the back of the jersey. I get all that stuff. But these kids have been exemplary players, really, this year. I don't know why something in your it's your 100th year of existence. You could put a note on the board. Let the fans cheer. Let them celebrate that. Put Wendell on the board, and then underneath it, put a graphic that his rookie record has been broken by Austin Matthews, and then show Matthews. The place would go wild.
No kidding.
Like, what's wrong with that?
That's a great point, man. I didn't even think about that last night, and you know they thought of it because they probably went out of their way to make sure it didn't happen. Have your PA announcer announce 35th goal and new rookie record. You're right.
Yeah,
right?
The place would have gone
crazy.
Because
the place, the building, I've been down there a couple times recently. I was speaking with a buddy who was in the building last night, and he said it really is feeling different. Like, you can feel that there's a buzz, there's a different atmosphere, people understand what's going on, they understand where this team is at. It would just take it to a completely different level if, I don't know, I mean, it's not the biggest thing in the world, but it you're right, that would have got people jacked up. That's a big game, too, and for years, everyone complains about the crowd.
Right.
You know, the crowd doesn't get behind the Leafs. Where are all these people in the platinum seats? Well, maybe, and Shanahan said that when he first got here, it's on us to figure this out. Tim Leiwicki used to talk about it all the time. We got to find a way to make sure that this becomes a home ice advantage for us. And there's an example of where maybe it could have got it amped up that much more and been that much more of an advantage for you, and you didn't take advantage of it yourself.
It's about atmosphere, right? You could have created more atmosphere.
Well, you should celebrate. They should know after the way that the last decade has gone that you should celebrate when good things happen, because there's lots of days that there might not be good things. This is literally a historic thing. In 100-year history, this is the most goals a first-year player has ever scored. Which, in my opinion, it should have been recognized.
Yeah, well, think of all the people in the crowd that, like, might not even have known. You know what I mean? Like, the casual fan that's just there. They all know who Wendell Clark is. If you put that up, that place would have went just bonkers. It's just,
well, anytime Wendell's up on the board, it does go crazy.
Yeah.
Like, it's amazing, really, the connection Wendell has. Like, when they show him in, you know, in that video that they show before the game, you know, and Wendell steamrolling a couple of guys in there and scoring a goal, and, like, the you can, I don't know, there's just something different about when he does it. And the fact that the record got broken, I think, aside from, as I'm thinking about this, aside from recognizing Matthews, you're also recognizing Wendell for what he did 31 years ago.
And he truly is the epitome of an ambassador for this
class
team. He'll do anything for the Leafs. He goes to a lot of the games. He travels throughout the country on their behalf. Yeah, now, again, I wasn't even thinking about that coming in here today or even when it went down, but I wasn't in the building. But now that you brought it up, it really was a missed opportunity. But I'll tell you what they did get up on the Jumbotron was Roman Polak not high-sticking Jonathan Huberdeau, and that really changed the game. And, you know, we were talking about this in the previous hour that they got it right. It should not have been called, but when they originally called it, you cannot go back on that. Like, the process matters. You're not allowed to look at the replay. They clearly did. I don't care what they say. They clearly looked at the replay and said, guys, it was the puck. It wasn't the stick. But if I'm Florida, if I'm the league, I'm not happy because you're not supposed to allow that to happen.
Well, you're not supposed to show the video that the league should have a word with the Leafs because you cannot show a disputed goal until the video review is underway. Like until they get into the the tablet, you can't show the video because some rinks would have it and other rinks wouldn't. They would never show a disputed goal that the visiting team might score. And you can say that's home ice advantage, but it's about keeping a competitive fairness to the game. Showing the Polak play last night was wrong. They got the call right. Polak wasn't even sure. Like, he came over to the bench. He was standing in front of the bench. He's like, I don't think that hit my, I don't think it was my stick. You know, like, you can feel when you hit somebody in the head with your stick. And he was like, you know, but it happened fast. He wasn't sure. The Leafs were sure because they saw it on the board. I watched the play. I saw the Florida player. I can't even remember who it is. He jerked his head back. Like, he clearly, it was Huberdeau. He clearly got hit in the face, so I just assumed it was his stick. But they didn't get it right, and you can't review a penalty. Penalties are non-reviewable. Yet last night, nobody can tell me that the four officials got together and discussed it. After they called the penalty, he didn't go to the box. They put him in the box, and they went out for the face-off, and then they met again. You can't sell me on that.
No, it was pretty obvious, and it was not a good look, and it shouldn't happen. Even though the Leafs ended up, I guess, benefiting or they ended up getting it right, process does matter, and it should not have happened that way last night. There was more than just history going down in Toronto last night because the Oilers clinched a playoff spot for the first time in 11 years, and the Red Wings were eliminated for the first time in 25 years. Which is just incredible. I mean, both streaks when you think about it. But what do you think is more likely to happen? The Oilers make the playoffs every year for the next five beyond this, or Detroit misses the playoffs every year for the next five beyond this?
Well, if those are my choices, I'll take the Oilers, I think. Like, I think they're good. I think they're a good team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean... I think Detroit will make the playoffs in the next 5 years, but you gave me another one of your crazy questions, so I've got to pick one or the other.
You can go in the middle, right? Like, so, I do.
Yeah, Noodles doesn't
did you
mess
just go
around.
You sail right down the middle?
No, but if you state your case and say the Oilers, but Detroit's going to make the playoffs in the next 5 years, and that's
I think
how, where
a
you feel.
Detroit could go out.
My answer is Detroit.
Oh, yeah.
I think they're awful. Like, yeah. I think they're in big
trouble.
And
Zetterberg's not going to be around. What's he got left? 1 year?
Yeah. I think Detroit is in big trouble.
Yeah, they are.
Okay, but so
look at how
what
quickly
about
the Leafs turned around in a couple of years.
It wasn't that quick. It was 10.
Well, once they got their act together, that's the
okay,
difference.
Okay, so let's think of this. So they're going to get a probably a top five pick somewhere in there, right, this year. So they get whoever that is. Next year, assuming we don't think they're very good, the top couple picks in the draft next year are franchise-changing type players. If you luck into Rasmus Dahlin, you've got a cornerstone of your defense.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe it, you know, they've got a good goaltender. You know, I think Mrazek is really good.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't have a great start, but I think he's really good. Assuming that they move on from Howard, who's been unreal this year. Anthony Mantha, I think, is going to be a really good player. Athanasiou is going to be a 20-plus goal scorer. But you need a big boy at the top. We talked about with the Leafs. If they would have a really nice rebuild going, but if they didn't have Austin Matthews, it wouldn't look like this. And that's, you know, Detroit's like every other team. You need one of those guys to fall into your lap somewhere.
Well, the Leafs got three, and then if they get in this year, it'll be the fourth year beyond that. They got Nylander, then Marner, then Matthews. Those are their top three point getters. Those are their three best players. And then hopefully in the fourth year, they're going to punch their ticket. But 5 years is a long time. Anything can happen. Hey, listen, if Talbot gets injured and McDavid gets injured, Edmonton's right. Not a lock to make the playoffs
every
year for the next five. I mean, this league has been going on a roller coaster ride for quite some time. Outside of the top three or four teams like Chicago, Washington, Pittsburgh, but even Pittsburgh was barely in at times. So,
well, when you hit your sweet spot, I mean, that's when you can make the playoffs a bunch in a row. But for the bottom four teams in and out of the playoffs, in each year is probably, you know, I mean, that's like in each conference, there's probably four on a side that can be in or out on most any year. And that'll be tighter as, you know, as we get into this, or not get into, we're in this stage of what the cap does to trying to build a long-term winner.
Ray, just quickly before we let you go, what did you think of Dan Bylsma dressing Sam Reinhart and not playing him one shift?
Oh, I would have been sour.
Like, would you have said, did you just, a healthy scratch would have been suffice?
Yeah, now, I did see Craig Button was talking about something. Somebody got sick. They didn't have a full complement of players.
Oh, so they couldn't do that.
So they needed to have him dressed to fill out the roster. But could you imagine what your feet would feel like?
No, I would have gone nuts. I would have been in some kind of argument or fight with the coach. I couldn't have taken that.
That would have been miserable.
Well, he was late for a team meeting, but it makes you wonder how late he was.
What's the circumstance?
What was he doing? Like, was he at a movie or something, or like what was going on? Where it's, you know, who knows? But that would not have.
He wasn't
been fun.
At a movie. If
I hear you, but you know what I mean. Like, was it innocent or was it
backstory?
You were being cavalier with your time and with the team's time, and you're like, I'll get there when I get there. Anyway.
Yeah, but that would be a brutal 3 hours.
Yes.
Oh, just think, you go there, you get benched, you probably figure it out after about 5 minutes, okay, I'm not playing tonight.
That's all it takes.
You're like this. Well, when he's not even looking at you, you're like, okay, this is really going to suck.
You're a grocery stick.
I'd go down by the spare goalie. At least you could talk to them.
I've had a few of those guys come and sit beside me.
Oh, yeah, come down. Hey, what's going on?
Let's have a great chat.
Food? Oh, yeah, food. Like, you can make it do. When you're stuck in the middle of the bench, that's brutal.
All right, buddy. Enjoy Nashville. Get unpacked and hit the strip for us, and we'll break it down tomorrow.
We will do that. And by the way, I hear you got some really nice basketball shoes.
Oh, yeah. I'm that guy. Like, I chewed off.
You can put them right next to O's snowboarding. Well,
exactly. And it's such a hypocritical move because I tore a strip off him for being snowboard guy and spending all that money.
I did become snowboard guy.
Yeah, you actually followed through and you snowboarded. I don't think I'm going to play other than tonight, but I had to buy new shoes apparently.
It's a one game comeback. That's
yeah,
it.
Exactly. Coming back for one game and I'm out of here. Anyway.
Well, don't pull your hamstring. Good luck.
All right. Thanks, buddy.
Later.
Ray Ferraro on Overdrive is brought to you by Timeshare Exit Team. They'll get you out of your timeshare guaranteed or give you a complete refund with offices in Toronto or visit timeshareexitteam.ca. Jerry's percentages, bunch of hot takes. We'll place a percentage on the likelihood of them coming to fruition. We'll do that next.
You're going to want to hear this.
Jerry's percentages.
No, no, keep the booing.
You're all pigeons. Filthy, filthy pigeons.
It's Jerry. G-E-R-R-Y.
All right, so Jerry's percentages is brought to you by themortgagewarrior.com. Use home equity to reduce stress today. Call our main man, Steve, at themortgagewarrior.com. It could save you thousands. We all know the way this works. Jerry's got a bunch of hot takes. I think they're fairly scorching today. That's my understanding.
Yeah?
Not sure what Jerry was up to.
We're going to put a number on it to see if it'll actually happen down the road. Let's see what Jerry has up his sleeve this week.
Congratulations to the Edmonton Oilers on finally making it back to the playoffs. I hate to burst your bubble, but you're not going back there next season.
Wow.
Jerry.
Jerry's saying they're not getting in next year.
0%.
That's the worst Jerry's percentage we've ever had.
Mine?
Yes, 0%.
I don't know. I think the Edmonton Oilers are going to be even better next year than they are this year. No chance they miss the playoffs. I'll give it 10 then for the likelihood of a Talbot injury.
You 10%. Have to take that into consideration.
Fine. 10.
Yeah, I'll go
15.
No.
Yes.
2.2%.
You're even lower than that.
Because I think they can. What's going to happen is their backup got some experience this year, Brassois, and their team is going to get better because Draisaitl, like the core of that group is there. It'll be interesting to see. I'm not suggesting Draisaitl is going to be a 100-point guy. All I'm saying is that even a McDavid injury, there is some padding there now.
They're a good team. They're going to hit 100 points more than likely this year. Dreisaitl's got like 71 points this year.
He's a hell of a player, too. I mean, it helps playing with McDavid, but he's a hell of a player. I think their team is set up. They're not just a one-player team. Talbot there, McDavid there. That's my point.
All right, but I'm going higher than you guys. I mean, this is still a league where outside of Chicago, Washington.
I'm going to revamp. I'm going to say 11%. Because you have to factor in a drop-off.
There could be a drop-off. Something could happen.
Realistically, they look like a team that is poised, like the Maple Leafs with the core, to do something special in the next 3 to 5 years.
All right, I'm going to say 30%.
Really?
That's 30%. I mean, I'm still saying there's a 70% chance they're getting in next year, but there's a lot of things that have gone right for them this year.
Yeah.
You have to open the door. There's parity in the league. There are teams like, do you think LA thought they were going to miss this year?
No.
A lot of teams just kind of fell off a cliff. And I'm with you. They're built properly. They're built well. They're a good team. But I got to leave the door open a little bit wider than you guys. Anyway, we'll see. Edmonton's in. So congrats to them and Shirelli and McDavid and everyone out there.
To Jason Strudwick.
And to not to Strudy. Natasha deserves a shout-out.
Yeah, because she's a huge Oiler fan.
Yeah, big
the
time.
The biggest of shout-outs to Natasha.
Kasperi Kapanen will play at least 3 of the final 7 regular season games.
Jerry was drunk.
You can't get an edit button on Jerry?
Let's hear Jerry again.
Yeah, what was
kind
that?
Of like.
Kasperi Kapanen will play at least 3 of the final 7 regular season games.
I don't know why Jerry's supervisor didn't ask for him
at the sheet, probably figuring out how many games they got left.
Yeah, maybe could have used a reread on that one.
That's hilarious.
Anyway.
Kasperi Kapanen will play at least 3 of the next 7 games for the Maple Leafs.
There you go. What are the chances? Played well last night. I liked them.
I did too.
But
it's a low number for me.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm not sure Levo and Soshnikov are going to get back in time. I mean,
I'm going to say 30% for Kasperi Kapanen.
Yeah, I was below 50. That's why I said low. Give me 41%.
Yeah, I'll say 50%. I thought, again, he played well last night.
The one thing that this guy's got going for him, Bri, is he's hungry right now. Because all these other guys, they're stealing the show of the National Hockey League. And he's the guy that got traded for Phil, and he's still hovering around the minor leagues. And it's like, when are you going to show up on the scene? And he's like, I need a shot. I just need a shot.
He wants to be a part of this young core that's going to grow for a long time. Like, they've got an abundance of talent up front. I'll give him a shot, though. I thought, again, he played pretty well last night.
30%.
Curtis McElhaney will re-sign with the Maple Leafs this summer.
Just to rattle that son of a Jonas Siegel's cage.
Jonas would be quite choked about that. He doesn't want to see McElhaney back next year.
Who does he want to see?
Someone better. You just said you got to have someone better.
Yeah, you got to have somebody better.
But you can't have that argument and not say, this is a better option. This is a better option.
I don't know what to
tell
you, Noodles.
That's what he does. He's a numbers guy.
I think there's a chance here. Right? And I think the fact that he played the way he did last night, Babcock's going to factor into this huge. How much does he trust the guy? What does he know about him behind the scenes? I don't think it's a lock by any means. I'm not sure how many suitors are going to be out there. I could see this going
through.
You also got
to do your work. If there's an opportunity for another guy.
Totally.
If
someone's better, yeah, go for it. I'm not saying this isn't a popularity contest.
No.
But you have to be realistic in terms of what is actually out there, where you're going to allocate your money.
I'll say
30%.
You know what the scary thing is?
30%.
Jonathan Bernier is like.
Yeah, but he makes.
I know. If he wasn't a $4 million, he is the prototypical kind of $2 million backup where it's like the real good backup where it's like if you need it, there it is.
Well, he's going to get paid more than $2 million considering the way Bernier's been playing.
Well, of course. He's making four now.
I look at the backup list. There's Bernier, Nielsen, Johnson, Elliott. Like, Chad Johnson's not signing here. He's not signing to play 14 games, 15 games. So
I'd be signing for that all day
Brian
long.
Brian Elliott.
Elliott's
Scott,
getting paid. He's going to play
Darling,
somewhere.
Somebody's going to make a mistake on him.
Well, don't Gustafson. Tell Jonas that. Jonas loves Scott Darling.
Loves.
That's why the numbers guys, when they start to take a look at the actual raw talent of somebody, that they're going to get rinsed on.
I'm not getting into that. They have.
I'll argue any day of the week with the numbers guy when it comes to goaltending. Any day of the week because analytics on goaltending are so far behind, it's embarrassing.
All right, what's your take on McElhaney returning next year?
I'll give it a 70% on a one-year deal.
70%?
65%.
I think I went too low. I was the guy yesterday saying I think he's playing for his job next year. And
who else? Okay,
I'll go 50% then.
Bebo,
you sold me. 50%.
Bebo's a guy who's coming up. Let him grow in the minors.
I'm with you on that.
The Toronto Blue Jays will go back to the playoffs this season.
That would be 3 years in a row. By the next time Jerry starts squawking on this show, they'll be into the season.
I'm going to go 45%. I don't know why.
I'm 18%. I've told you this before. I've got a weird feeling about that group. I don't know why, and I hope I'm 100% wrong. I just don't like. There's something.
It's been a weird off season. I'm not sure it's affected the team. By all accounts, they've been pretty comfortable during spring training. No one cares if they win or lose, but they're relatively healthy.
I've heard that's an understatement. Pretty comfortable during.
Oh yeah, like Richard Griffin was on with Scotty Mack.
Clown show.
It's honestly a country club in Dunedin. These guys love Gibbons because they roll in, they do their thing, they're on the tees at 12:30 every day.
Yeah,
but it's worked for them the past 2 years. They are a veteran laden team. Boston struggling the way that they have in terms of the injury potential in the rotation. I think they're going to have a big drop off too because Ortiz isn't there anymore. Right. That's going to have an effect on them. I'm feeling okay about the Jays. 60%. I'll say 60%.
But the guy who lost the weight, was it Sandoval?
Sandoval, the panda's back and he's looking good.
I just think that it's not more about the Jays, it's about the people around them.
I hear you. And the Yankees, no one talks about the Yankees. They're still right. A young, motivated
and they
team.
Made that run.
Chapman's back. Yeah. Listen, it won't be easy, but 60%, I'll take that kind of a mentality going into a year.
Colin Kaepernick will start at least one game in the NFL next season.
This is a good one by Jerry. That's an interesting one because Kaepernick, he's still not signed. Some people think he's being blackballed because of the political stuff. He's not that great anyway. But
I'll say 60% because I think somebody's going to have an injury and they're going to need a guy. And you know how it happens. It's just.
Yeah. He's getting signed. He's playing somewhere. He's going to battle it out with a quarterback.
But is it Jerry's a start?
Just one start. One of 16 games next year, Kaepernick is the guy who's running onto the field.
I'll say 60%.
Yeah, that's around where I'm at. I'll go a little higher than you just to be greasy, but I'll say 65%.
41%.
He's got to get signed first, and then once he goes somewhere, then you probably have a better idea. But
right. I don't know the blackball thing, but I think it factors in that the guy has been junk for a couple years.
There's a lot of bad quarterbacks in the league, though.
Yeah, you're right.
And you're only looking for one start, even if it's a gimme start, week 17.
Right.
You're the third stringer, which probably won't happen, but he's going to be an interesting guy to track.
The Detroit Red Wings will not make it back to the playoffs for at least another three seasons.
80%.
85%.
I don't feel great about where they're at.
They're in a dark place, as you like to say.
I think they can turn it around quicker than that because the goalie's got a chance to be really good. So that's going to help. He has had a lot of inconsistency, but the kid he's got potential. McRae was talking about a couple high draft picks can really help turn you around a little bit, as far as especially on you pick up a pivotal defenseman on the back end. That's what they're missing. They really, you lose Lindstrom, you've never replaced that. Not that you're going to, but Mike Green, like they've missed on a few on the back end. I'm just lower on that. I'm going to say 51%. I'm still leaning towards them, but I think the turnaround can be quick.
It happens.
Larkin
in the
had a bad year this year.
Yeah, he did. Riley Sheehan had a horrible year.
The Teletubby hasn't scored all year.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Hasn't scored a goal all year.
That's weird, man. That would.
He's got a handful of games to. He better pop
guy,
one. Here.
The guy can skate a million miles an hour.
I used to really, really like him.
He was a really good player.
He still has that potential, but it's been a down year.
Even with all of the haters out there, LeBron and the Cavs will still make it to the NBA Finals.
I'm still high on this.
95%.
I mean, something's not right with them right now, but LeBron James is such a different beast.
95%.
I'm not going that high because the Raptors have been chugging along here. Washington's got maybe the best backcourt in the NBA, or not in the NBA, but in the East, ever since Lowry went down. And Boston, they're a good team, clearly. They're first in the East. But right. I still got to put faith in LeBron. I'll say 65%. Like, I'm still in the majority of the idea of Cleveland. They're still the favorites. I don't care where they are in the standings or what they've done the past 17 games. 65%, the Cavs are still in the finals.
81%.
Yeah.
It's LeBron.
He deserves that credit. He deserves it.
All the guy
does LeBron.
is
6 years in a row, he's been in the NBA Finals.
Put his team there, exactly.
All right, Jerry. Good catching up with you.
I'll give Jerry a 6 out of 10.
I thought he was okay.
Not enough chirps.
He stumbled a little bit.
Yeah, he's a jerk.
7. 7 out of 10.
He's a jerk.
Sure. You got it. Dregs coming up. Get back into the poll question. Leafs are on fire. Well, they won last night. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app. Listen to Overdrive every weekday for the Maple Leaf lineup player of the day. Giving away tickets to see the Leafs take on the Pens. The theme this week is former Leafs who have had their rookie record broken or tied by Leafs rookies this season. Today's Maple Leaf lineup player of the day is Dave Andrechuk.
Wrong.
Andrechuk wasn't a... Anyway.
He got traded here when he was 40.
Dave Andrechuk is your Maple Leaf lineup player of the day.
You are fake news.
That is fake news.
What's going on back there? Huh?
It's just
somebody has to...
Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Waivers back
Dave,
there.
Dave Andrechuk is your Maple Leaf lineup player
We're hiring
of the day.
For producer for our show.
Yeah.
All right, Dreger's coming up. Chris Chelios didn't have very nice words to say about Mike Babcock. We'll tell you about that. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050.